Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. This is Jamie Floyd sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Mayor Michael Bloomberg had a surprising twist in his New York City budget address yesterday. Some good news.
Good news in the sense that we are going to be able to keep this city going. We're going to be able to keep doing the things we should do, educate our kids, keep the streets clean and safe.
For the first time in years, the city's financial footing appears to be improving. The mayor laid out a plan about the same size as last year, $65.6 billion for the next fiscal year. But $49.9 billion of that will come from the city, which is 12% more than a year ago. Essentially, New York City is closer to standing on our own, even as other towns and cities are facing the largest budget shortfalls in history. But before we get too carried away by the good news, the mayor also outlined some tough cuts and is counting in the budget on education aid and other monies from a fiscally strapped state. Joining us now to react to the mayor's proposed budget is Brad Lander, city councilman from Brooklyn's 39th District, which covers Carroll Gardens, Kensington, Park Slope, and Windsor Terrace. Councilman Lander, good morning. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much. Good morning. It's very nice to be with you.
Well, the mayor claimed that his budget for the city contained good news. What did you think? Was it rosier than you expected?
Well, I was surprised to see the mayor, hear the mayor call it good news. You know, I agree with the mayor that the city, under his leadership in partnership with the council, has acted prudently in the past, that decisions made in the better times to put money away have cushioned the recession, and that we've made a lot of tough decisions. You know, last year I voted for a budget that reduced teachers through attrition, cut senior centers and summer jobs. We've done 9 rounds of cuts so far for $5 billion in total. And yes, it is good news that city revenues are rising. They've stopped falling, and they're rising again. And he's also right that much of the problem we're facing is coming from Albany, which has had cuts that have opened up a $1.5 billion hole in the city budget. But how you can call it good news to propose to lay off 4,500 teachers, eliminate over 16,000 child care slots for low-income working families who need those slots to go to work, to close 100 senior centers, you know, more than a third of them in total, to continue major cuts to libraries and parks, eliminate vouchers that help people get out of homeless shelters, that's not good news. And unfortunately, in my opinion, while some of what's happening is that revenues are increasing because our economy's better, we're also set on December 31st to give a very large tax break to the wealthiest households in New York. And that's part of what's causing the problem at the state level that the state is passing along to us. So I would have liked to hear the mayor say it's still a time where we need shared sacrifice and to call on the governor and the legislature not to give that new tax break to the wealthiest households, but to see what we could do to avoid eliminating child care slots and senior centers.
Well, certainly good news, bad news scenario from some perspectives. Let's talk a little bit. I want to get to some of those specific cuts that you outlined, but let's talk a little bit about the revenue that you and, of course, the mayor point to. What do you think about the city's continued reliance on Wall Street as the center of funding? I mean, the city budget has improved because Wall Street has come roaring back from that financial collapse.
Yes, I mean, and let's not forget, you know, I mean, I think it's worth taking a moment here to remember that that financial collapse was largely caused on Wall Street, right? There's this one, my favorite video these days, folks can check it out on a website called False Economy. It's from England, and it's got a little, it starts with a little girl in England on a playground saying, all the cuts the government's proposing means there'll be no new playgrounds for me and my friends. That'll teach us not to gamble on credit default swaps. So, you know, a series of decisions were made on Wall Street that led to this financial meltdown through subprime mortgage crises and collateralized debt obligations, and people know the story. We then, at the federal level, bailed those institutions out, and they've come roaring back, and that's absolutely good for New York City from a revenue point of view, although in my opinion, we still actually undertax the revenue those folks are earning. It's great that New York City is getting that revenue. You're right, we need to continue to diversify our economy. I'd like to see us put more resources into some of the kinds of the things that are happening at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, where we're, you know, creating manufacturing and blue-collar jobs in the green economy. But well, look, we're lucky. We're lucky that we've got a, you know, unlike much of the rest of the country, business is growing here. As the mayor has pointed out, tourists are coming here. And even our real estate market, which is certainly way down from where it was, is doing, you know, relatively well compared to the rest of the country. And, you know, we are fortunate. Those are the assets New York City has. That's also why we have to invest in keeping them in place. It's why investing in the future, investing in education and childcare and in our capital needs, that's what got New York City through this recession, is being a place people wanted to be, businesses wanted to be. And I think it's a mistake to underinvest in them for the future.
We do have time to take a few calls now with Councilman Brad Lander. Give us a call right now and tell us, how will the mayor's proposed budget affect you? Let us know. 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. We do have a call now from Terry, who is either at or near JFK Airport. Terry, you're on WNYC.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just think that the idea of laying off teachers based on merit is a bad one. I think this is just another case of Mayor Bloomberg showing his stripes. Everything from congestion pricing to meters on Sunday. It's just another case of him having not understanding what the working person goes through. I think it amounts to age discrimination. You know, a teacher's career, any career, is a long, you know, it has ups and downs. And the same teachers that are keep their jobs today may be the people that are laid off tomorrow, because they're not at the top of their game, but these people have worked hard, and I think they deserve to have their jobs.
Brad?
Yeah, well, two things. First, I think first we should be trying to reduce the number of teacher layoffs we have to have. That's why I was disappointed that the mayor didn't call. Now, it's not a new tax. We are set right now. We have a thing in place called the personal income tax surcharge. It hits the wealthiest households in New York State. Those only even starts above $200,000 of income, and it really mostly affects folks making $1 million a year and more. We've had it for several years now. It brings in between $4 and $5 billion a year. There's no evidence that those folks have left the state, but that's going to expire on December 31st, and the governor and the mayor have said we shouldn't keep it going. So that's not an increase on the wealthy. That's just keeping, you know, if we do it, it'll be a tax break for the wealthy. So I would much rather see the mayor saying we can't afford that tax break for the wealthiest households. Let's continue that. Let's bring some of that money to New York City, and then we don't have to lay off teachers and increase class size. I also agree that, look, we want the best teachers in the classrooms, and those teachers that don't perform well should get their performance reviews, and there absolutely should be sanctions, and those teachers who shouldn't be in the classroom need to be removed from the classroom and suspended, given the right number of chances, and then fired through the normal process of personnel review and evaluation and supervision, like everybody should have, public sector workers and private sector workers. But I don't think it's right to use an economic fiscal crisis to try to change the rules. Layoffs are something you do because you're facing economic necessity, and you say, we're going to have fewer teachers. They're not the way to address the quality of the teachers in the system. That's got to be done every day, every quarter, every year by principal supervising teachers and making sure that we help them succeed and deal with the small number that can't. But I agree, we shouldn't use, you know, shouldn't say we're using a fiscal crisis. And I think the caller's right. The other thing that happens is there's a great temptation to lay off those teachers we pay more, who are those teachers who are later in their career. And so, you know, I think when you hear, oh, the young teachers, the better teachers, people should really listen with some skepticism.
To be fair to Mayor Bloomberg, he did address education as a most important focus for the city.
What's most important to this city? What's most important to the future of our city? And I happen to think the same thing is true for the state and for the country. I've always thought it was education. I know of no social problem that better education wouldn't ameliorate or cure, perhaps. We have to continue to have a great public education system.
I'm sorry, Brad. I just wanted to give the mayor that opportunity to at least express his desire to have education as a focal point in his administration, because, of course, this has continued to be, through three administrations, a sticking point for Mayor Bloomberg. And he said he values education, though he is threatening to cut over 6,000 teachers, more than 4,000 of them through firing. So which Mayor Bloomberg are we talking about, the one from the clip or the one who's threatening the teacher layoff?
Yes. Well, of course, both are true. I mean, the clip sounds a little like someone who feels guilty, but he's absolutely right. The city has substantially increased funding for education through his tenure, and actually is proposing to increase funding further this year. It is the fact that the stimulus money, the federal stimulus money, which supported education, is expiring, and that the state is cutting, you know, $800 million from our schools. That's where the harm is coming from. At the same time, laying off 4,000 teachers and eliminating 6,000 positions overall would dramatically increase class size. Whichever teachers you choose, you are going to increase class size significantly, and that harms the education of our kids. All the data shows it. What I'm saying is he should be asking legislators in Albany not only treat us more fairly, which they absolutely should. He's right that New York City is being given the short end of the stick in the current proposal, the governor's proposal in Albany, and we should be treated fairly, and we're not being treated fairly. But I believe he should also be saying, and the New York City Progressive Caucus, which I co-chair, is saying, we can't let that millionaire's tax, that surcharge on the wealthiest households expire. If we renew that, then there's some money in Albany to restore money to our schools and to avoid those teacher layoffs. And while that's not something the mayor can directly put in the city budget, it would make a big difference if he were advocating in Albany and trying to persuade the governor. You know, it's the governor who has to agree to this, and I believe it's a mistake to take it off the table and look to give that tax break to the wealthiest households. You know, the governor will then say, "Oh, well, the municipalities and the school systems have money squirreled away; they can avoid layoffs." That's hooey. If we get that cut, there will be these layoffs. But the answer is to have, you know, shared sacrifice, not even any more sacrifice, just the same, the tax structure that we currently have.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC AM and FM and on the web at WNYC.org. We're speaking with Councilman Brad Lander from Brooklyn about the mayor's budget proposal for fiscal year 2012. And we are joined now from Roberta in Brooklyn. Roberta, you're on WNYC.
Hi. My daughter goes to Brooklyn Tech, and she has 34 kids in all her main subject classes, which I believe is pretty standard among good schools in that fill up their enrollment, and some bad schools, too. And the mayor has said that class size doesn't matter. And it just really kills me that he would even consider saying such a thing. And I'm sure that he wouldn't send his children or grandchildren to schools where there are 34 kids in a class.
All right. The class size issue continues as we talk about cutting more than 6,000 teachers in the budget. Let's go to another call from Minna, also in Brooklyn. Minna, you are on with Councilman Lander from Brooklyn.
Hi, Councilman Lander. This is Minna Rusai. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I follow Councilman Lander everywhere because he is really cool. He has his heart in the right place. I did once, and this is one of the reasons I'm calling in, because targeting teachers is one of the worst ideas I have ever heard of, because our nation depends on our nation's survival depends on educating our children. And that's what the mayor says, but his actions have created a situation of fear where principals remain unchallenged, even if they lie and even if they create fabrications to get rid of teachers. They end up destroying a professional's life, and this professional has no recourse to set the record straight. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
the union does not help in this, because the union can appeal it, but it's a kangaroo court, and the Department of Education wins out. So we're really endangering the quality of education for our children by creating principals who can just do whatever they want.
Thank you, Minna, for your call. You have a real fan there in Minna, Councilman. And I want to tell you also, you have many, many calls lighting up from Brooklyn, and education seems to be a passionate concern. We also have calls from Brooklyn on many other subjects, and I do want to take a couple of those. But I also want to change gears for one moment, Councilman, because you did mention that you're on the City Council's Progressive Caucus and that you've been an active thinker around progressive caucuses in the city for years. We all know that. And in light of those organizing roots, I have to ask you what you think about the ongoing situation in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, our listeners, I'm sure, have been following this, but just very briefly, the recently elected governor there, Scott Walker, is in a showdown with his Democratic legislators over the budget that is attempting to strip collective bargaining power away from the state's public employee unions. And he says it's necessary to deal with the budget deficits there, the shortfalls there. We're following this on our website. It's a freecountry.org. But what's your thought about that? Is that a fair budget gambit? Do you see it as part of a larger move? Does it concern you as a legislator here in our city?
First, it's been a kind of an extraordinary time the last few weeks. You know, you're glued to this, you know, whatever screen watching what's going on in Egypt and in Bahrain, and then you turn and it's in Madison, Wisconsin. We'd obviously, if people here feel passionately, as it sounds like they do from the callers, about not laying off teachers, I don't think it'll take quite what's going on in any of those places, but it will take people making their voices heard much louder than they are right now. You know, there was a poll recently that said people are in significant support of Governor Cuomo's budget. And yet when I talk to people, they're very upset about the layoff of thousands of teachers and all these other cuts I spoke of. And they also believe that the wealthiest households should pay their fair share. And when you share the data that shows actually the wealthiest households in New York City pay much less than their fair share, even though they're earning more of our income than ever, they agree with that too. So people do have to wake up and pay some attention and express their point of view. Now, what's going on? I certainly support the rights of workers to bargain collectively if they form a union, whether in the private sector or the public sector, and then to come to the negotiating table in good faith and bargain. Everybody knows these are tough times. The union leaders that I've spoken to know that when they come and sit down at the table, they've got to face fiscal realities. We all have to face fiscal realities. Honestly, part of the reason why I'm speaking so often about that state personal income tax surcharge is, it's not facing reality to say we just can't cut. Yes, these cuts are going to be harmful, but if you want to say we can make sure that our kids still get a good education with decent class size, with good teachers, that we still have childcare, that we still have senior centers, it's incumbent on us as legislators to say, here's how we're going to do it, and we can balance the budget in a way that makes the state and the city stronger going forward. That's why I believe the renewal of that surcharge on the wealthiest households and not letting it expire is so important. I don't think we need what's going on in Madison because no one is proposing here to take away the bargaining rights of workers. But I think we need to recognize that I don't think it's a moment where we're thinking about shared sacrifice in honest ways. I think this economic crisis is being used by Republicans to try to cram down social policies that they've been seeking for a long time. And you see it in Wisconsin and you see it in Congress, trying to take advantage of the budget crisis to crush the rights of workers and jeopardize people's long-term retirement security. We do have a great counterexample, just one state to our east, in Connecticut, the new governor has said, you know what, let's face up to these issues honestly. We will have to make some hard cuts, but shared sacrifice means we also have to look to the wealthiest households who have been doing better and better, not just in the boom, but actually in these lean years as well, and come up with an approach that balances tough choices and cuts with a fair approach to taxation and to shared sacrifice.
Well, we are going to continue to talk about budget and shared sacrifice and taxation and cuts with WMYC reporter Bob Henley. I want to tell all of our callers to stay on the line because we will continue to take your calls. That is all the time we have with City Councilman Brad Lander, who represents the 39th Council District in Brooklyn, but we are not done with budgets quite yet. I do have to let the councilman get back to the good work of representing the people of Brooklyn at this time, but I thank you so much. much, Rad, for being with us today. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. Great to have the opportunity. I know we'll keep having the conversation in the months to come.
Indeed. Thank you very much on my behalf and on Brian's. Coming up next, WNYC's own Bob Hedley will take us not only to New York City, but also to New Jersey. Maybe we'll even talk some national budgeting issues as well. You are listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC AM and FM and on the web at WNYC.org. This is Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer.